Okay. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you today, and thank you for every day. Every day that you give us so that we could be closer to you, getting to know you more. You know, just following your lead, Lord. We pray that we continue that daily, is that we look for you for advice. And that's what we're looking today, Lord, is that you are spoken today, Lord, your words. And we pray that we could just get something out of it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the last chapter, it took me 2 sessions to get through it, but the last chapter, we learned about what? Don't remember. There was how many beasts? 2?
Or,
but she's the only one to put pressure on. Okay, so there was 2 beasts, right? I know, I'm sorry. I was confusing you. So there was 2 beasts, and everything looked really grim. Right? Dark. Gloomy. John 1, chapter 1, verse 5. And then here the comprehend doesn't, I always pictured comprehend meaning that, you know, it didn't understand it, but it can't overtake it is what it's talking about. And have you ever heard it's always darkest before the dawn? No. The meaning is that darkness is the absentee of light. Darkness cannot overtake light. You know, darkness just doesn't come in where light is. Because as soon as you walk into a dark room, right, if you turn on a light, it's no longer dark. Right? Because the light overpowers darkness. It doesn't work the other way around. There's always a loophole, right? No, but it's not really darkness. It's a shadow. But it's the absence. See right there? The only reason it's dark is because the lights, this is stopping the light from hitting it. Right? So the darkness doesn't have power over the light. There's not, it doesn't have real power. The light is way more powerful. So there are going to be times, there's going to be days where our faith will be tested. And we need to know, or it's helpful to know that, like the darkness, the devil cannot or does not have power over the light or over God. God is the light. We're the light of the world, but that's because we're following Jesus. So the devil will not win over God. It's just, it can't happen. Revelations chapter 14, verse 1. Stephen? All right, so after seeing the 2 beasts and what they're doing to the world, John sees this lamb. And can we guess who this lamb is? What this lamb represents, or who this lamb represents?
What?
No, you can't. Hun, Jesus. It is Jesus. He talks about, you know, what's on their forehead. These 144,000 people. Whose name? His Father's name. So who's? He's talking about Jesus, and it's God's names on their foreheads, right? So he sees this lamb, and there's 144,000. Now, this is, if you don't remember, that we talked about the 144,000 back in chapter 7. You know, these are Jewish people who have been sealed by God. It says they have, you know, God's name on their forehead. Meaning that they're always thinking. You know, I don't think they have it tattooed. They don't have it branded. But it's that that's where their thoughts are. They think about the Father and what the Father wants them to do. You know, they remain faithful during hard times, during bad times. And that's what it is at this point, you know, in history or in future history. It's they're not good times. It's the Great Tribulation. You know, the beast has his marked people. If you remember that, it is talking about people what will take the beast's mark, the mark of the beast. But these are the ones what have been sealed by God. Mount Zion. So this is the mountain, basically Jerusalem. You know, there's mountain ranges, but there's this big mountain right there, and that's Mount Zion. And that's where they're standing. It's kind of like a movie scene, you know, where there's a group of people, and they're outnumbered. They're just about to be overwhelmed, and then just in the nick of time, the camera pans off to a nearby hill, and there's reinforcements, right? Can you ever picture a movie what does that? You hate those kind of movies. You want the heroes to die? You don't want them to get back up?
Sometimes.
But they're the good guys. But this case is they look up and it's like, oh, all right, we have backup, right? We know, yeah, this is evil and it's looking bad, but there's hope. There's hope up on this hill. Revelation chapter 14, 2 and 3. Michelle. So what can only be imagined is John's describing God's voice, right? You know, powerful, like rushing water, you know, loud, you know, not like just loud, but it's loud enough that it causes you to have respect for it, right? And then it's not like Charlie Brown's teachers, like wah, 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 wah. You know, just where you're just ignoring it. But it was, his voice has wisdom behind it. You know, it's like a song, John describes it as. Like a new song, where you just want to, whenever you learn a new song or you hear a new song, you want to hear it again, right? Or you want to sing it again. No? No? Not even a brand new song and you like it? But then there's those songs that are played on the radio like a million times, and you're like, okay, I'm kind of tired of this song. But this is a new song. You know, it's new, and it's fresh and exciting. most people are excited. Right, but so you that new song, you listen to it 100 times and you get to know that song, right? And that's what I'm getting at, is, or that's what John's getting at, is it's exciting. And these 144,000s, you know, that's what they're doing. They're singing this song in front of the throne of God. Because it, if you remember, we already talked about the four creatures and the elders. These are people that are at God's throne room. And they're singing this song, and they're special because they're the only ones who can sing this song, the only ones who know this song. In Revelation chapter 14, 4 and 5, these are the ones who were not defiled with women. And they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Those were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Into their mouths were found no deceit, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Deceit. So they didn't lie, right? These 104,000 remained pure in a world, and at this time, there's going to be a lot of evil, a lot of immoral practices, and even immoral sexual practices going around. You know, the world is not in a good place. These 144,000, they followed Jesus no matter where they led, no matter where he led them, without question. You know, they just went where he did. There's no deceit, no lie found in their mouth. No, nothing, nobody could think of a fault on these people. You know, they were redeemed, meaning they were set free from a bad situation. Being first fruits. So first fruits are in a harvest. You know, that's the first fruits that are gathered up. What this represents, the first fruit means, is that it implies that there's going to be more, a lot more in this harvest, right? These are just the first, but there is going to be a bigger harvest. Revelation chapter 14, 6 and 7. Mia? Yeah. All right, so picture this, is so that, you know, there's the Lamb, which is Jesus, and then the 104,000 up on a hill, and then there's an angel flying behind them in the mist, they're in the middle of the sky, just preaching the gospel. Nonstop God's word, all across the sky, just for everybody to see. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Stephen?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greeks.
So, not being ashamed. Do you think this angel was ashamed of the gospel? No, he's out there. Everybody can see. Something that just struck to me, and I don't try to be political, but during Pride Month, there were some Major League Baseball players, you know, and they're required to wear Pride-inspired uniforms. But some of them were getting are getting some backlash, some are getting some praise, but because they added Bible verses to their baseball cap. But people are not happy. Now, me personally, I've seen shirts that have really offensive images or say really offensive stuff on them. Yet these are being tolerated in a shirt that has Jesus on it is so offensive that they kicked this lady out of a baseball game. You know, in Minnesota, this is what happened is she had Jesus over pride is what on the shirt. And people found that so offensive that they kicked her out of the baseball game.
I'm going to start kicking people out of my house because of
haircut. No, I mean, but that's just to show you where the world's at. It's not right. But it seems like everybody else can be offended except for Christians.
I suppose it could offend some people, but
they just
like to change your shirt.
Right. And it talks about that is to a non-Christian, Christians smell like death because they know the end. They know what's going to happen, but they're stubborn and strong-headed, and they don't want to hear it. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Michelle?
And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of the fornication.
So Babylon. It's always been known. It was an ancient city. You know, that's the one that conquered Jerusalem and then took prisoners. That's where Daniel went. Now, Babylon isn't a city, or at least right now it's not a city. But Babylon's always been that symbol or as known as idol worshiping. You know, immoral practices. And I could get into detail, but they're very evil. You know, the world saw it. Oh, look at, so they're all, the city's so beautiful, it's so technology improved, and it's has the latest and greatest, but it was evil. You know, this angel proclaims, it is fallen, meaning that the victory is God's. You know, Babylon's no more. It will not corrupt the world no longer, because that's what it's doing, is it's corrupting the world to make it think, oh, well, it's okay, because you like this, I will deal with the seedy part of the town, but I want to live here. But this angel's proclaiming that it is no longer, claiming it has been defeated. Revelation chapter 14, 9 and 10. Then the third angel, so there's three angels, right? We know this because the word third. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anybody worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel, in the presence of the Lamb. So if anybody's received that mark of the beast, that means that they're fully in with the beast, they're worshiping the beast, they have said no to God, they will receive an equal portion of God's wrath. And that's something you don't want to be equal in. And that's something you don't want to receive is God's wrath, right? It's going to be poured out on them. Like the day of Noah's time, right? God judged the world. And only 8 people survived at that time. Only 8. He's not going to do it with water this time, but he's going to do it with fire and brimstone. So you know what fire is, right? Okay. Let me explain this. No. Okay. That one, actually, I don't even know how to explain that. But, all right, do you know what brimstone is? You've heard about it. All right, so brimstone, it comes from words technically meaning burning rock.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's usually referred to as a sulfur. You know, and that sulfur is usually in volcanoes, so a lava type thing, right? Where the heat is going to be unbearable. Plus, getting hit with a lava rock would probably not feel so good. You would hope, I would hope it'd miss me. About you? It'd knock you out.
Yeah.
It'd burn. But the thing about lava or sulfur, what happens is it'll emit ash and a toxic gas in the air where it'd be hard to breathe or you'd be getting poisoned. And it'd be, you know, the ash would just make everything more shady, more dark. This time, God is not going to hold back judgment. You know, all this time we see from other scriptures, right now, God holds back judgment. And that's why there's evil things happen, but God is not going to hold back judgment any longer. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11.
And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name.
So they'll be tormented, right? And the smoke is just billowing up to heaven. It's just don't keep on going. It's going to be literally hell on earth. You know, there's not going to be any rest. You know, there's going to be destruction nonstop, day and night. You know, so people are going to be going through a lot of trials. But it doesn't sound like these people, they've chose their path. You know, we don't know if it's going to be supernatural. Is it just going to be literally just fire, not missiles or anything, and brimstone just hailing down on them? Or is God going to use a nuclear war? Now, God will use things. You know, he uses people to judge people. He used Nebuchadnezzar to judge Israel a long time ago. He uses all kinds of things. So he could use a nuclear war. And it sounds like if John didn't know what a nuclear war would look like, you know, fire and brimstone. No, probably not. Adam Bob was, it was a few days, few years later than when John lived. Just a few. The thing is, whether it's just something we're not going to pay attention to and it's just a war, or if it's going to be supernatural, it's like, oh, okay, that's for sure God. We need to decide before it starts. Right? We can't take the mark and go, okay, oh, sorry, time out. Let me redo this. We can't be in the middle of this. We need to decide what side we choose. Are we going to choose Satan's side? Are we going to choose God's side? Revelation chapter 14, 12 and 13. Stephen? So those who kept the commandments of God, you know, that'd be those 144,000, right? It's up there with Jesus. And then it says the works and the labors, you know, will show who they are. It said, blessed are those who die in the Lord. It's those who've chosen God. You know, our works, they don't save us. Our labors do not save us. But they will reveal what's in our head and what's on our heart. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. So just like I said, we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through faith, right? True faith will be shown in works because that's what God wants us to do. He's prepared us to do good works. He wants us to walk in them. He wants us to do good works. Like I said, it's not a requirement, but he wants us. He built us to do good works. And if we believe, or if we say we believe in Jesus, yet we don't follow him, do we truly believe? Or are we just saying it? Psalms 18, 1 through 4. And it is a little bit longer one. I will. Huh? Are you sure you didn't want to change your mind?
Yeah. Okay.
I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pains of death surround me, and the flood of the ungodliness made me afraid. So the psalmist, whoever wrote this, is talking about he's scared, right? He's scared. It's all right. Guys could be scared. We could cry. But he's talking about the enemies made him afraid. And who does he call on? He calls on God. His strength is through God. His salvation is through God. His stronghold is through God. Stronghold means that it's a place he's going to be protected. Right? God's going to deliver them. There are going to be days that are going to be terrifying. You know, there's no place in the Bible that says, oh, once I became a Christian, everything's hunky-dory. And it's all unicorns and rainbows, ice cream for dinner. No, it says that things are going to be terrifying. But we need to remember who to call on. We need to remember that Jesus cannot be overpowered. The light cannot be overpowered by darkness. Jesus holds all the power. And he is with whoever chooses him. So we need to think about that. And think why we choose him. And we should, and what we should do in our walk. Michelle, do you want to close this in prayer?